Alrighty. Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. I am Richard Dixon, and during the spring and summer and fall months, I don't like mowing my lawn. I don't like mowing my lawn all year, but it doesn't need mowing right now. I just don't like doing it, and I have decided some time ago that I was going to allow someone else to do it for me. It turns out that Chance Landscaping and so much more, a home maintenance company, is so much more than just a lawn maintenance company. They not only have done a fabulous job on my yard. I mean, the grass, the other areas, they leaf abatement, they take care of all of that for me, which I love. They trim, they edge. They're going to come out and trim my shrubs here before too long because we're in the season for that, and now would be the time to get it done. But they also can do things like clean out gutters, do minor and major home repairs, rebuild your deck, your gazebo, your pergola, your fence. They built a fence for me, and if you need to build a fence, they can make that happen for you as well. They are just top-notch. Their work is second to none. I love everything that they do. I've loved everything they've done for me thus far, and I expect they'll continue to do great work for me, and I will continue to appreciate it because they're so very good. I want you to give them a call as well, 205-821-7015, 205-821-7015, for outdoor maintenance, home repairs, and whatnot. You can count on Chance Landscaping and so much more, a home maintenance company. It is 202, and the Birmingham Broker phone lines are open. Once again, the big stupid question of the day. Give me three groups or musicians that define you. Describe yourself in three musicians or groups might be another way to put it. I'll throw mine out there because I think this is a pretty good representation of me, and hate to say it out loud, but here it is. Bob Dylan. Yes. The Grateful Dead. Bob Dylan, yes, and the Grateful Dead. If you know their music, then you have a pretty good handle on who I am. There are some other groups I could have stuck in there, but I think those three probably define me in that order, as well as any three ever could. And the funny thing is, when I first heard this question, those leapt to mind. Like, immediately I was like, there it is, right there. I just got it, you know? We'll hear from AJ in a bit on the subject. Right now, Tony is on a cell phone. Tony, you're on Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. What's on your mind?
How are you, Mr. Exquisite.
Exactly. You nailed it.
Yes, sir. And the big stupid question of the day, Led Zeppelin, Mr. Big, and Chris Cornell, I guess, would be my three right there.
Okay, hold on. So we had, Led Zeppelin, I missed the second one. What was it?
Mr. Big.
Mr. Big, that would be like, I'm the one who wants to be with you, the one out of the San Francisco area?
Absolutely. Okay. And Chris Cornell.
Okay. Now we know about you. Now we know all about Tony.
Mm-hmm. Just a little bit of something about me and a little bit of craziness. And music is pretty much what I want to talk. With you being a musician as well as myself, I've loved all kinds of music, but I kind of go for a lot of different things. I'll listen to anything for the most part because music will take everybody back to some place at some point. You hear a song, you can go there.
Yep.
And it's just a wonderful thing. So being a musician helps people go there. And especially if you're a decent musician, you can absolutely bring them there, but you don't have to be a good musician to make people happy. that's one of the things that I have heard.
No, I would agree. A very bad musician can make people happy by stopping playing. It's amazing how that works. It's, you know, he stops and everyone's like, yay, I'm happy again. It works, man.
That's like karaoke. When you go to a karaoke place, you get two kinds of applause, one because you're good and two because you're done.
That's right. That's the way we like it.
Yes, sir. Well, you have a great day, and keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you soon.
I will do my best. Thank you, Rick. I appreciate the call and the kind words. 545-9950, 844-455-9950. I do always find it a little bit funny when people refer to me as a musician because I don't think of myself as a musician. I think of myself as a guy who plays the drums, the guitar, and recently the piano. And I play drums well. I don't play guitar or piano well at all. But, you know, that's where we are in life. A lot of this stuff I'm doing just because I enjoy it. I don't have to do it well. I just have to enjoy it. And I did get to break out the guitar a little earlier today and play it. Literally, I took it off the wall and tuned it up. One of the reasons that I really couldn't do anything with it is because it was hopelessly out of tune. And there's a really cool device that you clip onto the head of your guitar, and it will tune, you know, tell you where you are. So I could tune it to within a certain amount, but I never could get it exactly in the zone where I needed it to be, especially this Telecaster, which is notoriously hard to tune. And so I got the battery that I needed to make that device work. And once I got that thing on, it was just like, oh, this is like coming home. I forgot what this felt like playing this guitar. It's so nice. It just feels great. I played it for about 15 minutes, then I put it back on the wall, and I'll pick it up again in 8 or 10 months. Let's go back to the phones. Where I kid. I got to sit in with Meet the Next at some point. I haven't seen those guys in forever. Doc is in Pelham. Doc, you are on Talk 99.5. What is on your mind?
Stupid question of the day.
Okay.
You stole my thunder with Bob Dylan right off the bat.
Sorry.
I love that this guy's a troubadour, man. Especially his early years, he played acoustic guitar and harmonica and played his original songs. People love that.
Yeah.
That's what I like to do. I play guitar and harmonica and make up my own original songs.
Cool.
So there's number one. Number two would be Tom Waits.
Excellent.
I love his gruff style. He doesn't play bubblegum pop music. He's got some great, great original stuff. And number three is a little-known man called David Bromberg. Played mostly the college circuits, but he played a lot of great blues music. He does a lot of storytelling in his songs. And, man, I just love his music. If you ever get a chance, listen to Bullfrog Blues.
Hmm.
And you will laugh, and it's a great song.
You know, it's funny because the name sounds familiar to me, but I probably couldn't pick him out of a lineup. I'll have to go. I'll have to go see if I can track some down, man.
Yeah, AJ played one of his on Bumper Music. I couldn't believe it. But David Bromberg is awesome. He's really good.
AJ's got great taste. You shouldn't be surprised by that. Thank you, Doc.
He certainly does.
Good call. Appreciate you, man. 545-9950, 844-455-9950. Let's talk to Rick in Mountain Brook. Rick, you're on Talk 99.5. What's on your mind?
So, hello, Richard. I'm going to show my age when I give you my three. I just turned 80 last week, so I thought about it, and I said, well, let me call. So here are my three.
Yeah.
And don't laugh, okay?
Oh, I will. You can't stop me.
All right. Huey Lewis in the News.
Oh, excellent.
Dire Straits.
Okay.
And ELO.
I don't think there's anything to laugh at there. I think those are all great choices and speaks volumes about, you know, I mean, Huey Lewis in the News, one of the tightest bands ever. I haven't seen them live. I always wanted to, and I missed the chance because they don't do it anymore. But everybody I know who has seen them has told me the same thing. They're every bit as tight live as they are on their albums. These guys are on the beat. I agree.
I do. But anyway, I just thought I'd give you a call.
Lovely. Thank you, Rick. I appreciate the call.
Okay, man.
Yeah. Fine. Dire Straits, a little bit more ragged. Got some different kinds of songs in there. Things like Industrial Disease, Skate Away, good stuff, man. Romeo and Juliet, oh, just wonderful. And then, you get to ELO, which is, again, a fairly overproduced but still Beatlesque sound. I think we've learned a lot about Rick and his 80 years on the planet. Bo is in Sylacauga. Bo, you're on Talk 99.5. What is on your mind?
Hey, Richard.
Howdy.
Since I've never been diagnosed with it, but I know I had it, bipolar disease, I'm going to run the spectrum. I'm going to go with Procol Harum,
okay,
John Lennon,
okay,
and Black Sabbath.
Yeah, no, that's I don't think that's unusual. I mean, I think a lot of people would have trouble seeing the connection between, say, Bob Dylan and Yes, so I can see how you could have a, you know, a Procol Harum and, I'm sorry, what was the last one again? I already forgot.
Black Sabbath.
Black Sabbath. I mean, a Procol Harum and Black Sabbath in the same, that speaks volumes about who you are, because none of us are homogenous. Very, very few people are going to be like, Styx, Boston, and Cheap Trick. You know, that's like, great, you've just named the same band three times. Nobody's interested in that, I don't think. I could be wrong on that. Thank you for the call, Bo. Very good. Now, some people I could say, like, for instance, my friend Jay Willoughby, if you asked him to define himself with three bands, I feel like his answer would be Beatles, Beatles, and Beatles. Possibly Beatles, Paul McCartney, and John Lennon. I don't know. I could be wrong. Maybe I'm giving him short shrift. I know he likes other bands. But he's really into the Beatles. Greg is on a cell phone. Greg, you're on Talk 99.5. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Richard. Hey, I like the subject. Growing up, I'm not a musician, but growing up, I listened to a lot of music, was influenced by a lot of different genres. And when I moved to Birmingham, I had two other roommates, and during the evenings when we get home from work, instead of watching TV, we'd actually sit in the living room, and each one would take a turn to get something on the turntable, play a song. Or back then, the CDs had kind of taken over the vinyls, and so we'd do that all night, just trying to outdo each other. And it was pretty. I mean, it's a good way to keep make a pleasant evening. But the thing
now we just do that through Snapchat now, you know. So it's we don't actually even have to be in the same room anymore. It's kind of nice.
But
I kid.
The thing about it. The thing about it, I listened to a lot of music because the roommates I had, they all had, a lot of albums, CDs themselves. But I listened the other day, it was probably about a month and a half ago, I heard a song by Rolling Stones that I'd never heard before. And it was the Memory Motel. Are you familiar with that song?
It sounds familiar. Was that on Exile on Main Street, I want to say?
I was listening to it, I probably on Spotify. It may have been, sometimes when you're listening to your song, your playlist, right?
Yeah.
When you get to the end of it, they'll start adding stuff to it.
Yeah.
And I listened to it, and I said, that is a fan song. And I never heard of it. Never heard of Memory Motel.
It's tough to... Oh, I'm sorry. It's on Black and Blue. So, yes, I have heard it, absolutely, because I actually had that album when I was a kid.
I'm 56 years, 59 years old.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just discover stuff 30 years after it came out.
You were just about to lie about your age, weren't you? What were you hoping to achieve with that?
No, that's not a thing.
He's 3 years younger than he sounds. He's doing great.
I do have an answer to the stupid question, and it... I guess that would depend on just what I'm in at the time, but probably Van Morrison, Traffic, and ELO.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, there you go. I now know more about you, Greg. That's what I was looking
for. Richard.
I love it. Thank you for the call, sir. Take care, man.
All right,
2:14, let's take a break. We'll hurry back. Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. Oh, yeah. Man, that Janis Joplin. Ooh, what a set of pipes. You know, everybody knows her for, like two songs, right? But she's got a catalog that is unbelievable. You listen to some of the other stuff that she has done over the years, and it is breathtaking. And then, of course, she died tragically at 27. Sad state of affairs there. Did it to herself, as was so often the case. Don't screw yourself out of a great new home. Don't make a bad decision about a realtor because you've got a friend who has a friend who knows somebody who's a realtor, and you don't know whether they're any good or not. You don't have the vaguest notion. Let me tell you something. Monica Thatch, Keller Williams Trustful, been at this for a while. She knows the tricks of the trade. She knows the ins. She knows the outs. She knows everything that you have to do, which is kind of important. And then she also knows the stuff that you should do that not everybody knows. Like how best to market a house, how to stage a house, how to get it in front of the right people, and how to price it properly. So that your house sells in a fairly quick manner for a price that you're happy with. Then she's great at finding the right house for you so that you don't have to worry about being in between houses, at least not for long. She knows that bizarre dance you have to do to get out of one house and into another and make it snappy. It's not easy, but boy, you know, when you get the experience that Monica Thatch Keller Williams Trustful has, then you're going to get it right 10 times out of 10, and she does. I know because she found me this house, and it's wonderful. Monica Thatch, Keller Williams Trustful, 229-1865, 229-1865. Don't just trust anybody with your next real estate purchase. Monica Thatch is my realtor. She ought to be yours. David is in Calera on the Birmingham Broker phone line. David, you're on Talk 99.5. What's on your mind, man? David, are you there? Hello, David? Can you hear me, David?
I guess he's not there.
David, can you hear me? There is no David. Casey is in Alabaster. Casey, you're on Talk 99.5. What's going on, man?
It's hanging a little to the left.
Thanks for that important update.
Okay, so Grateful Dead, Old Crow Medicine Show, and the Allman Brothers Band.
Oh, very nice. I like it. You're a jam band fan, obviously, if you got two of them on there for sure.
Definitely. But also, Old Crow Medicine Show, man, that they can jam on some bluegrass. It's more than just that one song, Wagon Wheel, that everybody likes, you know.
But they can definitely jam.
My wife and I would go for several years. We would go to Nashville, and they would play the Ryman New Year's Eve every year. And we did that like 4 years in a row, and that was fun. Good place to watch a concert, too. Stripping with history.
Great, great venue. I've been there. I actually took the tour, the backstage tour and all that stuff, and got to see the Ryman. And when I saw the Grand Ole Opry when I was in high school, I was I'm sorry. I was actually at my first or second job in broadcasting. It was during the summer months, and it was at the Ryman because they would move over there during the summer months to relive the history, I guess. So I saw him at the Ryman, and then the last time I was at, I saw the Grand Ole Opry, it was at the Grand Ole Opry. So I got to see it in both locations. Pretty cool. I highly recommend a trip to Nashville before the liberals take it over and ruin it. Hurry.
Yeah, you had great food city, though. Oh, man, it's so good.
True. All right. They already got Memphis. Better rush. Thank you, Casey. Appreciate the call. 545-9950, 844-455-9950. If you'd like to get on board, would love to hear from you. Let's talk about some stuff. This is something, I don't remember whether I've talked about this or not. I want to say no. There was this really cool ice cream cake in the mid-90s. It was called Viennetta. It was originally done by Good Humor, which is kind of funny. And then Breyers bought Good Humor, and it became do I have that right? Yeah, Breyers. It was Breyers. You remember this Viennetta ice cream cake? I only had like one or two. It had this chocolate shell on top of it, and it was really fancy. It had a lot of curly cues and all this. When you got right down to it, it was really nothing more than ice cream that was infused with caramel and some chocolate. I mean, that's really what it came down to. And it disappeared. I want to say it was the late 90s, mid to late 90s that it went away. Well, guess what? It's back. They have brought back the Viennetta. It should be at a grocery store near you before long for a mere $5.40 at major retailers nationwide. I'm gonna get one just for the nostalgia. I mean, I realize that really I could probably do better simply buying a half gallon of Breyers or Bluebell or one of those ice creams and taking it home and just indulging with a spoon. But really, how often do you get a chance to revisit the mid-90s? Aside from when you're watching reruns of Friends and Seinfeld, how often do you get to revisit the mid-90s and enjoy? All right, when you're eating Dunkaroos, you can do that. But how often, other than that, when Surge came out? Okay, but other than, boy, we revisit the mid-90s a lot, don't we, AJ? What the hell's going on with that? Were they such a great time in our lives? Is that what the deal is? We keep going back to the mid-90s? How sad are our lives that the mid-90s was the peak that we feel the need to keep bringing stuff back from? Jeez. When is the Taco Bell beefer going to make a reappearance? Remember that? It was a taco on a bun. They acted like it was the biggest thing ever. You know, the funny thing is, it sort of flew in the face of their slogan, Think Outside the Bun, because that slogan and the Taco Bell beefer actually existed at the same time for a short period. Before somebody caught it, somebody was like, hey, we're telling people to think outside the bun, but we have a taco on a bun on our menu. We either need to change the slogan or we need to get rid of this damn thing. And the Taco Bell beefer went bye-bye, which was probably the right move on their part. Okay. Enough nostalgia. We'll get back to the Birmingham Broker phone lines in a bit. Right now, it's First News time. Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5, Talk99.5.com. Don't go no place. It's a beautiful Friday. Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5, Talk99.5.com. Thanks a heap for tuning in. I have got a little bit of advice for you. If you're a business owner, a business decision maker, if you're somebody who is trying to save money, then your next work truck should come from Work Trucks. It's just that simple. Work Trucks is downtown 2324 3rd Avenue South. They're also online, worktrucks.com. Work Trucks is going to take great care of you with a top-quality pre-owned work truck that has been through a 120-point inspection, which means, of course, it has really been put through the ringer by these guys because they don't put junk on the lot. They're not going to sell junk. They're not interested in that. They only want to satisfy their customers with the best top-quality pre-owned trucks at great prices, and that is exactly what they do. You can find out more at their website. Every size, every shape, every kind, every make, every model available there, all painted white and ready for your logo. Work Trucks, the Southeast number one pre-owned work truck dealer. Check them out or go down 2324 3rd Avenue South, where they are all about trucks. Some of the topics we've thrown out, Twitter saying that the Trump ban is just the beginning. I find it interesting that Mexico's left-wing president has mounted an international fight against big tech censorship, probably because he sees the writing on the wall as well. It's like, well, if they can do that to him, they can do that to me. If they can do it to him, they can do it to me. I don't want it to happen to me. That would be wrong. Oh, wait, that was French. Joe Biden's idiotic call to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. This is the most short-sighted, economically illiterate thing, and I shouldn't be surprised. I mean, Joe Biden has never shown any sign of economic literacy in his 47 years in the Senate, you know? Well, in government. He hasn't been in the Senate the whole time. Leftists in general, socialists, AOC, who would say, well, I have a degree in economics. Yeah, from a really bad university with really bad teachers who clearly have no idea how economics work, because all of your plans would destroy the economy of the United States of America. All of them. All your Green New Deal, you chased Amazon out of your district, which was insane because you had people in your district who desperately needed jobs, and you decided that they were going to be more trouble than they were worth. You know, when you make big business the target, when you say, well, these guys are the problem, then you are taking the first step toward hamstringing your economy. You are taking the first step toward cutting the legs out from under your economy. You cannot make business the enemy. Business is our friend. Business is who we do. I mean, when you go buy food at the grocery store, who do you think you're buying it from? That's business. And the people they're getting the food from so that they can put it all together in one convenient place and you can buy it there, those are businesses too. And the farm that grows the produce that gets picked up and brought to the market, that's business. The trucking company that moves the food from point A to point B, that's business. So when you make business the enemy, you've just made every step in the food chain for the United States of America the enemy. And when you say, well, clearly, we need to charge more in corporate taxes. These corporations, these businesses, they're not paying their fair share. Where the hell do you think that money comes from? It comes from when they jack up the price on the groceries that you've been buying, and you go, well, I didn't think this was going to happen. Of course it was going to happen. And when they jack up minimum wage to $15 an hour, guess what happens? The prices on everything at these businesses go up because you just doubled the minimum wage. Oh, I'm sure they go, well, we're going to stair-step it. In 2 years, it's going to go to this, and in three and four, it's going to go. It doesn't matter. I call for the abolition of the minimum wage entirely. Now, I'm one of the few people who's willing to say that out loud. Not a lot of people want to make that claim. But, yeah, you could pull the plug on the minimum wage tomorrow, and the market would be just fine. Because, you know, if somebody wants to take a job that pays $5 an hour and that's all there is, that's all the money that the guy can pay, and someone's willing to do it, what business does the government have coming in and going, no, 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 you have to pay him an extra $225, or in this case, an extra $10? Well, how does the government even have any business in that at all, if someone's willing to do the job at that? And if they're not willing to do the job at that, well, guess what? The guy who's offering the $5 an hour job is going to suddenly go, how about six? Would anyone take it? No? Seven? Anybody taking it at seven? Eh. Seven fifty. All right, we got people at $7.50. We'll take that. Okay, sure. Funny how that works, isn't it? It's called a free market economy. David is on a cell phone. Got an answer to the big stupid question of the day. Define yourself with three musical groups or musicians. What do you got, David?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Oh, great, great. That would be Frank Sinatra.
Good.
Led Zeppelin.
Like it.
And Willie Nelson.
All three greats. Absolutely. Top of the heap for all of them. I could have, by the way, very easily have chosen those three as well. But I'm not sure they defined me as well as well they clearly define you. But, yeah.
Yeah, tells you I like variety.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people do. A lot of people like variety. Getting a lot of different genres of music mixed in there. But it also, you know, Willie Nelson tells me that you like a good melody and well-written lyrics. Frank Sinatra tells me that you appreciate fine talent in all of its forms. Led Zeppelin says that you've lived and loved and lost. That's the blues, baby. That's what Zeppelin's all about, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. I got to see them in 77 when they were at the Civic Center.
That was the Presence album. That was they were touring in support of the Presence album, I believe, at that point. Either that or Physical Graffiti, but I want to say it was Presence. Physical Graffiti. Okay. I would have loved to have seen that tour. I would have loved to have been around and been to see Zeppelin in the late 70s. I was around. I was 14, but they didn't come to my town, so oh well.
Yeah, I remember Robert saying, this is the third leg of our tour, as it were. Now I've been wondering what that was for a while, but finally figured it out. But
then you did, yeah. We all, like a kickstand.
He had to lower, I remember him saying he had to lower a lot of the songs. They had to lower the key on a lot of the songs. So I guess that was after many nights on the road.
Probably.
But it sounded great to me that night. I never
about Well Auditorium.
Mm-hmm. Bonzo up on the riser, and he spun around, and they had the lasers.
Nice. Cool. That's good stuff, man. I wish I could have been there. Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
You bet.
There's David on a cell phone sharing some Zap memories. Yeah, so many great groups I never got to see. Still haven't seen Aerosmith. Quite distressed by that. We have another David. David 2, we call him. He's on line 2. David, you're on Talk 99.5. What's up?
Well, let's go with Traveling Wilburys.
Okay.
Because that's pretty much got them all. And Guy Clark, John Prine.
That speaks volumes. You've told me everything I need to know. That
I like to kick back.
There you go. And
great show.
Do you like a particular kind of music? Thank you, David. Good call. 545-9950. Rick is in Alabaster with an answer to the big stupid question. What's up, Ricky?
Lord, I didn't think we were going to run out of David. I was sitting there. I would say Roy Orbison.
Good.
Black and White Night, DVD, Stevie Ray Vaughan, and the Eagles.
Oh, very nice. That's a good good collection right there. Tells us a bit about Rick. I like it. Stevie Ray Vaughan and the Eagles especially. But throwing the Roy Orbison in there is a bit of a curveball, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, that's old school. That's on kind of that's when we used to make whiskey in the ground.
Oh, yeah. I'm an Orbison fan, man. He never got the props that he was due, in my opinion. I'm glad he got a comeback there in the 80s. He was well deserving of it.
That screen or surround sound. Yeah, it feels good. It takes you back a while, but that
puts you right. Put you right in the zone. Thank you, Rick. I appreciate the call. Get a new phone. It's terrible. Let's talk to Daniel in Birmingham. He is on line 4. Daniel, you're on Talk 99.5. What's going on?
Hi, Richard. How are you?
I'm exquisite as always.
I believe you are. So I heard you mention the $15 an hour minimum wage hike that the Biden administration is trying to push, and how absolutely silly and preposterous of an idea it is that the fry guy or fry girl at McDonald's can support a house on $600 a week if they're working 40, but they don't work 40 hours. They only work 30 hours. And they're not going to work those 30 hours because then they're going to give up $50,000 in benefits from all their subsidized stuff that they're taking. So why on earth would raising minimum wage do anything other than make those people work even less? It is not a career path. It's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, there's a couple of things incumbent upon the minimum wage that people are really missing out on here. Number one is that you do that minimum wage job until you're prepared to move on to the next level. And then, and this is important, get the hell out of that job to make room for another person who's coming in. Because, you know, it's not just you moving up. You have to create a space for the guy who's behind you so that he can come in and learn and he can move up. When you take a minimum wage job and you hold on to it for 12 years, you're not only doing a disservice to yourself, you're doing a disservice to the people who should have held that job. There were another 4 people who could have done that job in that 12 years. What the hell are you doing?
I completely agree. It's absolutely silly. Absolutely silly.
Thank you, Daniel.
Again,
good call.
I think the point they're missing is that those people are only working 30 hours a week as it is, and they're not going to give up their benefits to work more for you at $15 an hour and bring home, let's say, $450 after taxes, and then actually have to start paying for housing and paying their full electric bill and their full water bill.
Right.
And not receive food stamps or anything else. It makes no sense to them. Economically, it doesn't make sense to anyone. So why would you do it?
You're making a very good point. Thank you for the call, Daniel. I'm going to cut you loose because we got a lot of wind noise in the background here. But this is something that he points out that I find fascinating about liberals. Let's juxtapose minimum wage with the New Green Deal, shall we? The New Green Deal, whether it's implemented in toto or in part, the concept is this. We'll put enough regulation on the fossil fuel industry to drive the price of fossil fuel sky high. We saw this in the Obama administration. We'll create a world where fossil fuels cost so much people can't really afford to use them anymore, or where the alternatives, things like solar, things like wind power, will become, you know, even electric cars and things of that nature, will become significantly more viable. Because they're too expensive right now, but by jacking up the price of oil through regulation, we can put them on the same level and more people will begin choosing this other method. In other words, they're doing something on one side to drive people away from that product and into the product they want them to use, right? They're not talking about doing the same thing when it comes to minimum wage. Daniel is absolutely right. One of the problems that we have is that we get a lot of part-timers who are working 30 hours a week. That is a product of Obamacare, because it was decided that anybody who works more than 30 hours a week would be considered a full-time employee, ergo, you have to cover them if you're a business of a certain size. That's Obamacare. So what happened is these businesses began cutting people's hours. People who had been working 40 and 42 and 45 hours a week, yeah, they were getting overtime too, for whatever, you know, minimum wage or whatever. Suddenly they were working 29 and a half hours. That's all they got. They only got 29 and a half hours. Doing away with that aspect of Obamacare has yet to dawn on liberals. They're going to continue to try to drive that. Secondly, there are an awful lot of benefits that you get if you are underemployed, shall we say. If you are making $7.25 an hour and you are working 29 and a half hours a week because that's all your boss will give you, and you apply, you can probably get AFDC, you can get WIC, you might even get some EBT or SNAP benefits. That's a lot of federal programs that you can access through the state, especially depending on what state you're in. Some make it very easy. Some make it a little bit more difficult, okay? Now, instead of encouraging people to work by taking those away, making those things harder to get, they instead continue to provide these things and allow people to stay in these 29 and a half hour a week jobs where they're like, I don't need to find another job because I got all this money coming in from the government. In fact, if I found another job, this money would be cut off. I wouldn't have it anymore, and that would harm me. I like working 28, 29 hours a week. It's easy. It's fun. It's not a big deal. I work 7 hours a day, 4 days a week. I get three-day weekends. It's awesome, and the government makes up the rest, so why should I ever change? Well, one of the things that you could do is you could cut those benefits down to next to nothing for people in that situation and drive them to improve their situation and find a better job and inspire them to move on, thus creating another opening for somebody who could come into that job and learn from the ground up like they're supposed to. It's so frustrating. But that's a standard liberal, you know, way of looking at things. Somehow, we have to get everybody dependent upon the government eventually. 2:45, quick break. Back to wrap things up. Stick around. 545-9950, 844-455-9950. This song was the theme to what television show? Anybody remember? Anybody? Bueller? I think it was the 80s, mid-80s, right? What would you do without do? That would be The Wonder Years, The Wonder Years. I watched an episode of it not too long ago because it was a Christmas episode. It popped up in my Hulu feed. It's like, hey, here's a Christmas episode of a show that you claim to like. Would you like to watch it? I was like, yeah, I would. I would like to watch it. And so I did. And I remember the minute the intro came out, I was like, oh, I forgot how much I like this show. And then when I watched the show, I was like, I forgot how much I like this show. was a great show. And because it was kind of set in a nostalgic time period, and Kevin was just a few years older than I owned a lot of the same stuff he did. I owned a lot of the same toys. I owned the same jacket with the leather sleeves. Mine was purple. It was a Vikings jacket. But I owned the same jacket with the leather sleeves. I mean, I basically, yeah, I mean, I grew up in that era or close to it. So, show speaks to me. What can I say? Let's get back to the phones. The Birmingham Broker phone line's burning up. DJ is in Odenville with an answer to the big stupid question. What's up, DJ?
He's no longer there.
That is what's up with DJ. He's gone. Let's talk to Blaine on a cell phone. Blaine, you're on Talk 99.5.
Hey, bud.
Howdy.
I'm going to go with number... go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I said howdy. That's my greeting to you. Hello, my friend. Come in. What's up?
Hey, bud. I'm going to do one that's going to be kind of odd because it's going to cover two bands. So I'm going to go with James Maynard Keenan from Perfect Circle and Tool.
Okay.
And then second, I'm going to go with Lisa Gerrard and Brendan Perry from Dead Can Dance.
All righty, then. Whatever works for you, man. That just tells us about you. That's all we really care about is knowing a thing or two about Blaine, and now we do. Don't borrow money from Blaine. Thank you for the call. You can borrow from him if you want to, but don't loan him any. Paul is in Tony. What, Tony? Is that a thing?
Newark, Alabama.
Ah, gotcha. Alrighty then. Hello, Paul. Welcome to the show.
Hey, wanted to talk about the hypocrisy with the left and big business. The first thing is they applaud big tech shutting down everything that they find inappropriate.
Objectionable, yes.
Yeah. But the big thing I want to talk about is why does the left and big business propose tax increases, especially on bigger business?
Well, that depends. Frequently, when you start talking about these businesses that, like, for instance, GE really cheered a lot of the environmental stuff that Obama was doing. Why? Because it was going to help them, because they could come out with a whole new line of environmentally friendly and energy efficient appliances. And you remember the light bulbs, the Curly-Q light bulbs? Suddenly everybody had to replace every damn light bulb they owned. And GE looked at that and said, this is awesome. We're going to make a ton of money. And you might remember that same year, they also didn't pay any federal income taxes because they used every damn loophole in the book. Okay.
Exactly. So that's my point.
Yeah.
The loopholes and the deductions that come from it.
Mm-hmm.
It is meant to snuff out small business or their competitors. It's meant to give them an advantage. On the face of it, it looks like they get large tax increases, but every time they increase taxes, especially directed towards large business, what do? They go hire accountants and attorneys, and they find the loopholes to get their effective tax rate down.
One of the most distressing things about this, Paul, and I'm sure you know it because you sound like a very intelligent person and you listen to my show, so that automatically makes you smart, is that a lot of times there are people from these businesses on the advisory boards who are explaining how these taxes should work exactly. In other words, you are letting the fox decide, you know, how the hens should be arranged. That GE was a big part of that whole environmental push. They were on the inside of it every step of the way. It's not by accident that they ended up paying no taxes. They designed it that way.
Absolutely. They designed it, and not to mention, they also had the capabilities and the infrastructure to go and find more loopholes to put themselves in during that period as well. So even though they were designing it, they were also making themselves more profitable to be able to pay less taxes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, I would say this. I don't mind GE paying no taxes. I don't really mind any business paying no taxes because, as you know, corporations don't pay taxes. Corporations collect taxes from you and I. But I don't want them gaming the system to harm their competitors and you and I, because we're the ones who end up taking into the shorts every time one of these tax increases comes down the line.
Absolutely.
And that's what's going to happen this time. Hey, thank you, Paul. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend, man. Hey, real quick, can we squeeze in John? John, three bands. Go. Hurry.
Grateful Dead, Frank Sinatra, yep. Tom Lehrer.
Ah, I love it. All three of those. Fantastic. I could have also come up with that list. Perfect. Love it. Thank you, Johnny. All right, we're out of time. So I hand things off to Leland Live, who comes your way next. I will be back on Monday at noon. I will talk at you then. Right now it's First News Time. Talk 995, talk995.com. Bye-bye now.